So, hey, thank you guys so much for being here at Motion Church. We're actually wrapping up a series today called 2020 Vision. It was too easy, right? It was one of those going into the year 2020 and you know, 2020 Vision, which I assume, based on what I've heard all of my life, that 2020 Vision is perfect vision. Is that accurate? Okay. Hey, feedback is cool. You guys, when a question is asked, you're not like my children, right? When you ask your kids a question, sometimes they look at you like, your dogs do the same thing. They kind of turn their head. Now, you can respond if there's a question, you know, unless it's a rhetorical question and it's going to embarrass yourself. Don't answer those questions. But 2020 is vision, right? It's good vision and the year 2020. So marry the two, right? So we take our plan, our vision, our goals for our life, and let's make sure they line up with the vision that God has for our life, right? Man, have audacious goals for your life. Have a plan, a vision. Be ambitious. Want to do something incredible with your life. Want to leave a legacy. All of those things are really important, and they're awesome. But make sure it lines up with who God wants you to be. And that's really where it starts, right? We talked about the first week that what you're becoming is so much more important than what you're doing. And we get that so twisted in the world that we live in, because we don't ever ask, okay, let me clarify this, right? We ask people, how you doing? And we don't even listen to the answer, right? It's a pleasantry. It's a formality. We don't really care enough to listen to their response and how they're doing internally, how they're becoming, right? Who they're being. We don't really listen to that as much as, what are you doing, right? We're curious about what people do, and that's the emphasis that we place so often. So it's about who we're becoming more than what we're doing. And then last week, we talked about, I'm sorry, let me back up before that. We talked about not petering out, which at first may sound inappropriate. It is not. It's in reference to St. Peter, right, in the Bible, you weirdos, and how Peter, when he didn't have a personal vision, when he didn't understand the power of vision, he would peter out, right? He's the one that bailed on Jesus when Jesus needed him the most. But when Peter had vision, he was this bold man of God that stood up before thousands of people and boldly proclaimed the gospel. That's the difference in vision, and we kind of get to see that. And here's where this all kind of comes back to. We keep reverting back to or referring back to this passage in the Old Testament about vision in Habakkuk. Which, if you say that five times really fast, you're probably going to accidentally hawk up a loogie. I'm just going to, because that's that, right? It's real strong. Habakkuk chapter 2, and we've got it on the screen. Check this out. Read this. You don't have to read it with me. I'll read it, and I'm going to add some, like, right, emphasis to it. Maybe. There it is. This is what it says. It says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it," right? So write the vision down, make it plain, make it clear, make it understandable. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie." Because what we do so often is we let everybody know, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And then things start to get hard and you stop doing whatever it is that you were going to do, right? So it's not necessarily for the appointed time, but in the end it will speak and it will not lie. "Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." And this is the power of vision, right? It's something that can sustain us through the darkest of seasons, right? If you know who you are, it's like Shelley just said, if you know who God is, then you know who you are. And if you know who you are, you can withstand just about anything, because you know that he's with you. He's got you. He's gonna get you through. This is a God that never leaves us and he never forsakes us, right? He is with us always, even to the end of the age. And that's what vision is. It's incredibly, incredibly powerful. And last week we talked about, it's funny because we talk about how sometimes it doesn't happen when we think it should happen. We talked about, what if it never happens? Have y'all had some things in your life where you're like, man, I am pretty sure that that's what God wanted me to do, and it didn't turn out anything like what I thought it was going to turn out, right? That's basically life so often, right? And so what we have to decide is on the front end is like, hey, the results, those are up to God. The effort is on our end. The results are up to God, but I'm going to worship God regardless of the results, right? God is still good, even if the things that happen in my life I wouldn't consider good. It doesn't detract from his nature, his character of being good. So today is like I said, it's the last message in the series. And we're going to talk about it kind of from a different perspective. Again, vision, but let's talk about, you have a vision for your life. I have a vision for my life. And we believe that God is the one that has given us those. But what happens when we all come together, right? There has to be kind of an understanding of what our corporate vision is. Where are we going as a church, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. I warned you in the first week this was coming, so just, you know. And if you weren't here, you should have been, right? You missed it. And so we're going to talk about what it looks like for us as a church to have vision. Because, and this is where I kind of got, you know, I guess convicted about it, is like we stand up here and we tell everybody to have a vision for your life and have a plan and, you know, make goals. And then if we as a church don't do the same thing, isn't that kind of hypocritical to tell everybody to do something that you're not willing to do yourself? Unless you're one of those that you subscribe to the policy of don't do as I do, but do as I say, right? And we don't want to do that. That's not how we roll. We want to lead by example. So as a church, we want to make sure it's clear what our vision is. And so let's start kind of at the beginning of this. We live in a world that diminishes the value of church. Like, and this is not vitriol towards anybody, any group, right? Just generally speaking, the society that we live in values church now less, in my opinion, probably less than it ever has. And definitively, research proves over the last couple of decades, like that's for sure facts. Hashtag facts, right? You look at church attendance, it's been on the decline for the last couple of decades. And here's the fascinating part about this, is that 62%, this is according to Pew Research, not like me looking at the Pew and seeing research, right? But like the organization Pew Research said that 62% of people who say that they are Christians don't even go to church. And I'm like, I guess so many things, just shut up, right? If I said like 10% of the things that I actually thought, I would be unemployable and I would probably be in a psych ward somewhere because it would not be good, right? Say, thank you. Hey, we can go together. Maybe they got a room for two. So church is just not something that our society values. And again, research bears this out. You don't even have to do that. Just look around, right? And there's so many things that factor into this. This is not railing against people. Oh, you know, you don't go to church, you're a jerk, you're going to hell or anything. It's nothing like that. It's just, this is the way that it is. We live in a world that doesn't value church at least like it should or it has in the past. And I think that the church is Jesus' idea. Like, this is something that Jesus is still very high on. It's something that he instituted, something that he created. And I think that because he loves it, we should love it. I read a book a few years ago, and it was kind of interesting. It's got one of those intriguing titles, so of course you have to read it. And it was called They Love Jesus, But Not the Church. And here's the thing. We can be completely honest. The church has made mistakes throughout its history. Name one entity, institution, organization, name one person, a human, who hasn't made mistakes throughout their existence, right? It's what people do, it's what man does when it gets involved with things, is that we tend to mess some stuff up. But that doesn't detract from the value of the church. It doesn't take away from the love that Jesus has for the church. I remember when I was a kid, probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. That's a pretty good range, right? I don't know. I was a kid, like 2 to 20. Cool. And I just remember my grandpa at the time, he lived in Missouri. And we would go up there during the summers for a couple of weeks. It was really cool. Got ticks. It was the weirdest thing. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, I mean, like ticks. These things are huge. So anyway, all of that to say, they used to do this thing. We can't do this anymore. We tried it once, and it was an epic failure. They used to go to church on Sunday night. You guys remember that? Anybody remember that? Okay, and I remember, as a kid, I remember I was, you know, maybe it was just impressionable and the influence that he had on my life. I remember he went to church and he took us with him on Sunday night and he was happy about it. Like, he loved the church. And for me, I've just always, even when I didn't go to church, I loved the idea of church. Like, even before I got saved, this is the dumbest thing in the world. Before I got saved, before I started going to church, I wanted to be a pastor. How messed up is that, right? Like, again, I told you guys, I am committable. Like, and if you've got a psych ward on speed dial, stop, get out, you need to leave. Security, we need some security. The church matters. The church is valuable. The church is something that God created. And it's not just this subservient thing that we do. It's not this obligatory exercise. It's something that has the power to transform our lives. I don't know if you know this, and of course, you couldn't know all of this. Because I'm part of a church, because I'm part of this church, there are things in my life that I do and that I don't do that you'll never know about. There are times, this may come as a shock to you, there are times when I want to act like a fool. But before I do, I represent this church. And not just as the pastor, but as part of this church. So there are things that I do and there are things that I don't do because I'm part of a church. It has power to transform our lives. And so the church matters. The church is important. And we live, again, in a world, I think we're, God, I hate this phrase, we're busier than ever. I'm like, how are we busier than ever, but nothing gets done? I'm like, everybody is so busy, but you ain't going, you're on that treadmill. Right? And yeah, you're more like the elliptical. You got some movement to it. But you're not going anywhere. We're so busy. We're spinning our wheels, but we're not actually accomplishing anything. And then, and I hate to be like the get off my lawn guy, right? But I'm not that old, but I'm old enough to remember, like, even when I was growing up, there weren't so many activities that would detract us or, you know, kind of pull our attention away from church. Like, we didn't have baseball on Sundays. They just didn't have it. We didn't have practice for this and practice for that and extracurricular this on Sunday. It just wasn't like that. And that's probably why we're not very talented, right? We just didn't have all the exposure. And it's just crazy how much it's changed in the last couple of decades. Church is diminished in society, but it has not diminished in the eyes of God. It still matters. And because it matters to him, it should matter to us. All of that to say, the church has a crucial role to play in the vision that you have for your life. Like, so what we do corporately affects how you live individually, right? And there's power in that. It's a good thing. So the first point, we've only got two for the day, maybe some sub-points. Y'all like my plant? This is what you refer to as a succulent. I'm embarrassed that I know that. That's the second embarrassing thing today. There's a lady here today, and I was like, oh, I like your Buffalo check shirt. And I'm like, I shouldn't have said that. Shelly keeps me, she tries to keep me trendy, right? So the first point is this, take root. Now, if you're from East Texas, it's root, take root. So let's talk about taking root, right? I believe that the church, again, has a crucial role to play in the vision that God has for our lives. But in order for the church to have the influence in our life that it should, see, this is how the church works. There's this principle called reciprocity. And what happens in church is you get out of church what you put into church. You get to get something out of it, you got to be all up in it, right? You got to be planted. You have to be rooted in the church to get the influence, the impact from the church that it was intended to have in your life. You can't do the drive-by thing. It just doesn't work. And this is not being critical, but here's these are, again, facts. People who say that they regularly attend church, regular church attendance means they go once every 6 weeks. I'm like, man, I hope your digestive system is not regular because that's going to be a problem. Once every 6 weeks is that's not regular, right? That's irregular, if anything. Do you go to church? Do you go to work like one every 6 days? How's that working out for you? How pleased is your boss with your effort, right? And so when I think about regular church attendance, it's got to be part of our routine. It has to be something that we value enough to actually prioritize, because there will always be demands on your schedule. You're always going to be invited to be more busy, right? There's always things that detract your attention. Let's be honest. Some days I would rather than get up and get pretty, because that's hard, right, and go to church. I would rather sit on my large rear end and watch TV. Can we be honest? But there's value in coming together. The church has value. So I get off my large rear end and I fix my hair for the one time a week and I go to church. Because it matters, right? Psalm 92, this is a really cool Old Testament passage. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14, it says this: the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Now, there's something that's happening consistently here, right? A palm tree, a cedar of Lebanon. I actually bought a friend of mine a pin made out of a cedar from Lebanon because it was such a cool thing, right? I thought it was cool. You guys are like, what a weirdo. Grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. Come on, somebody. If you're getting up there, whatever that means to you, there's hope for us, right? So they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. I feel like the fresh part, that's a shirt waiting to happen, right? Stay fresh. It's biblical. So what happens, you see in the passage, it says, hey, the righteous are like a palm tree. And they're planted because palm trees are planted. And you're going to flourish when you are planted. You're going to grow like a cedar of Lebanon, tall and strong, and something that people actually look back to as a symbol of strength. But you have to be planted. It says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Now, you can kind of get into the pedantic semantics of this and say, oh, well, the Old Testament, the church was different, right? It's a typology of the church. It's imagery, right? We understand that the church, the house of the Lord, is the modern-day church. The expression has changed, right? We don't meet in a temple without air conditioning. Are you cool with that? Because I'm real cool with that. We live in East Texas. Praise God for Mr. Carrier, who in the 50s created air conditioning. Now, so the expressions of church has changed, but the method has remained the same, right? Or not the method, but the message. The context of the church has remained the same. We still come together. We still talk about Jesus. We still challenge and encourage each other. So what church is hasn't really changed that much. How it looks, that's probably changed a lot, but the idea has remained the same. So in this passage, it kind of reminds me of a couple of things, right? The first thing I think about roots or roots is consistency, right? You see, when something is planted, this is fake, by the way. This is all, I'm not even going to try. It's not going anywhere, right? Even if, let's say you kind of, it was on a stable surface, that would be great. You put it, and let's say some winds came and, you know, the winds blew, and let's say there was some outside forces being enacted upon it. It's not going anywhere because it has roots, right? And you see this in nature so often. In fact, I like to get ahead of myself. There's some really, and I'm kind of a nerd. Does anybody love, like, just watching documentaries and, like, science and, you know? Okay, good. I've got a few of you. That's good. So when I think about roots and I think about being planted, I just think about consistency. It's being planted in the house of the Lord. That means that this is an essential part of your life and your routine. And this is preaching to the choir because you guys are all here, right? You picked the perfect day to be at church because we're talking about the importance of being at church. And you're like, yeah, where my badge at? Give me a star. I need a gold star for going to church. So we live in a day and age where, again, we talked about this, is it's less valued than it ever has been, but the church is part of God's plan for our lives, right? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, it says this. And we always, when we talk about this, we jump straight to verse 25, but I thought it'd be valuable to read the verses that precede. This is what it said. Let us hold unswervingly, because that's a cool word, right? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And this is where we usually start, which I think is kind of ignorant that we would leave off the first part. Not giving up meeting together. And another version says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. It's about the group. It's about our corporate gathering. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. People been skipping church for 2,000 years. I mean, that's what I take from it, right? Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, the day approaching, that's a final judgment that I believe will come when, I have no idea. That is way above my pay grade, right? But what I do know is that we're not supposed to give up meeting together. It's something that, even though other people are doing it, it's something that we have to build into the rhythm and routine of our lives because it matters. And why I wanted to read verses 23 and 24, the verses that precede, because this is what it says. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Now, why would it say that and then make the connection to the church? Why would it do that? Because I think when we come together, if you're running empty on hope, maybe there's some power in coming together. If you're coming in and you're discouraged and the week has beaten you down or life has gotten a hold of you and it just does what life does, you need to have a place that you can go where you know hope will be infused into your soul. And that's what the church is, right? We can hold on to this hope that we profess unswervingly because we return constantly to a place that replenishes the hope that we have. I think I love power tools. Oh, my gosh. And not just power. I love DeWalt power tools, black and yellow, right? It's got its own theme song. It's just destiny. Love power tools. And what I love more than power tools, I love cordless power tools. But you know what is fascinating about cordless power tools? As much as the technology has improved in lithium-ion batteries and all of these things, you still got to put them on charge every once in a while. And I think when we're out, we're doing our thing, right? We're demonstrating power and we're working and we're doing all this stuff. That's incredible and we're professing hope, but you still got to go back to the charger every once in a while. And that's what church is. It's this place that we can return to where we can spur one another on in good deeds and works and the things that we do. We can encourage each other. And even more than that, we can call each other out sometimes. I will. Thank you. Thank you for the permission. I'm going to do it, right? So, sometimes encouragement, do y'all know that encouragement isn't always like this frou-frou, oh, you're awesome, I like your shirt. Sometimes encouragement is, hey, that stupid thing that you're doing, you're so much better than that. Right? Isn't that still encouragement? You can encourage somebody and still challenge them, right? Still call them out of something that they shouldn't be up in. So it says, not giving up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. The church has to matter to us. It mattered to Jesus. It should matter to us. And there is so much value in building church into the rhythm and routine of your life. There's another thing about this passage that kind of stands out. And I'm going to go quick because I got so many things to say and not enough time to say it, right? Something that happens in the first part of that, it says that you will be like palm trees and you flourish, right? The righteous are like palm trees and they'll flourish. Y'all know what happens with palm trees? They have this really unique ability. I think God created it. There's imagery and examples in all of creation, right? Palm trees do this thing. They've got such a strong root system that they actually have the ability to bend like 40 to 50 degrees and not be uprooted. Preach up. Y'all know where I'm going with this, right? So what happens, and here's what's fascinating. So of course, we love palm trees at the beach, right? We love to go to the beach and see the palm trees and hope that a coconut falls on somebody's head if you're twisted. So we see them, and we know that they're in these tropical environments, and we know that hurricanes usually hit the tropical environments, but you never really see palm trees laying on the ground because they can withstand the winds and the storm because of their ability to flex, which ultimately reverts back to their strong root system. And I think what happens for us, the correlation is pretty obvious, right? When you've got that strong root system and you're planted, you can withstand the winds and the storms of life. You're flexible. Things don't knock. I love oak trees. They're awesome, right? They're these big, majestic, beautiful trees. But there are so many times you get to see this around here. Like there was a road that we used to live off of, and we went by one day, and there were like five oak trees just laid over. Their massive root system was just, you could see the bottom of the root system. This gargantuan tree didn't have a sufficient support system, didn't have a sufficient root system to support the weight brought on by the extra wind and external forces, right? All of that to say, when you're planted, somebody say planted. But you got to say it with some soul. Say planted. If that's soul, I don't know, right? When you're planted, I just think that you can withstand a lot more, right? You've got a strong support system. You've got people that you can lean into. You've got people that you can talk to, that you can share with. And all of these things help us to withstand the things that happen around us. Now, here's what's really, really fascinating about it. I don't know how they figure this out, if they run out with a tape measure in the middle of a tropical storm. But they say that after a storm and all of this pressure has been on a palm tree, that when the storm passes, the tree is actually taller. I'm like, all right, right? Like, what does that mean for us? So when we have the root system and we're planted and we have the ability to withstand and the storm comes and it blows and it does all that it can, when we get through it, we're actually taller because of it. We can stand taller. We've got more experience. We've got more things to stand on, more faith to build on in our lives, right? So we grow taller. Now, here's another thing that happens with this, since we're talking about church. That means when you're flexible and you have the ability to withstand winds, that means that when you get your feelings hurt, you get butt hurt in church, because that happens. Can we talk? Can we be honest? This is like a family meeting, right? We're having a family meeting. Now, what happens in church so often is, oh man, that music was too loud. Now, our church is different. Our music is always loud. That's it. And there have been people, this is the honest to God's truth, there have been people that are like, hey man, I'm going to come check out your church. And it's people who I've known from other churches previously. And I'm like, you probably don't want to do that. You just, there are a lot of great churches in town. Go to one of them. You're not going to like ours. And that's just the truth, right? I mean, it's not for everybody. So that being said, when we have deep roots, we're not blown away by everything that happens. You're not going to agree with everything that is said and everything that's done at any church anywhere ever. It's not possible, right? We've all got our different ideas and you know, these things that we value and things that whatever. You understand what I'm saying? We're not going to agree on everything, but when you've got this root system and you're planted, it doesn't blow you away. You don't fly to the next church and gripe about everything over there and then fly to the next church and gripe at everything over there. What's so funny is there's like this circle of churches, and I've seen people go from one to the other to the other to the other, and it's funny. Sometimes they even end up back, and then they start the whole thing over again. I'm like, what the crap are you doing? How embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for you. I don't know. Maybe that's just to me. You just plant. Because you can't ever grow if you don't plant. And the thing is, they move under the auspices of maturity, right? They see things so much better than everyone else, but they're the ones that aren't planted, and they keep moving, so who's really immature? But that's just the way I see things, right? We're not going to agree on everything. You're not going to like everything that we do, but if we're planted, we understand the vision where we're going as a church, then the little things don't matter, right? They don't mess us up. We grow because we're flexible. The last thing in the passage it says that we'll do is it says that we will bear fruit. Even if we're old, right, we're going to bear some fruit. It says they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. I like that. Stay fresh and stay green. And so what I was thinking about, the way that this affects us, kind of, again, our personal vision as it relates to the corporate vision, is that when you're part of a church, I think that it brings a lot of value to your life. Now, what we think about so often is for whatever reason, we've got, again, this kind of subservient model of church and obligation. Oh, I have to go to church. Like, we're bringing something to the church that's just, you know, it couldn't survive without us. Right? It's amazing that the church has survived for 2,000 years before, you know, we were here. But, you know, now that we're here, thank God, because otherwise, who knows what would happen. And so when you've got this mentality of like, oh, you know, I got to go to church and I'm bringing something to church, you fail to remember that the church actually offers an incredible amount in return to you. It's the reciprocity thing. The church, for example, let's talk about your personal life, like the things that you hope to accomplish in your life. So the church, by default, is the perfect system for accountability. Like, you want to set goals for your life? They say that the most important thing you can do in setting goals is tell people what your goals are, because then you kind of put yourself out there a little bit, right? You have made it known this is what you're trying to accomplish, and if you don't, everybody's going to look at you like, what you doing? Right? It challenges us because of the accountability, and the church is the perfect system for accountability. We've got places, we've got people that we can do life with that hold us accountable to the plan, the vision that we have for our life. I think about some other ways this affects us. When you're doing your thing, right? You're on the path, you're doing what you think God wants you to do, and something happens, because something always will happen. You need people who will support you in and through that struggle. This is what church does. It says in Romans chapter 12, to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. I think what being part of the church does, it makes the highs even higher. And it makes the lows a little more bearable. Right? It's still going to be hard. It's still going to be a struggle. But you got somebody walking through it with you, right? And I think that that's something that the church offers us. But if you're not up in it, right, you ain't got nobody that you're walking with, and they don't know what you're going through, and they don't know the low that you're experiencing, how in the world could they ever help you? We can't. It's funny, people assume that, like, churches can read, like, people in church, pastors and leaders can read minds. Like, we're just not that good. I've had people, this is so funny, and this is, again, this is probably too much information for everybody, but I'm doing it anyway, right? Like, I've had people that have left our church because they thought I should have known something that was going on in their personal life that they had not told anybody. And I'm like, homie, I'm a pastor, I am not Jesus. Like, I just don't work like that. You need Dr. Phil, not me, right? I can't be doing all that stuff. And so if we don't share, then we can't expect to receive in return. So we get to bear fruit when we're part of the church. And so I think when we take time each week, when you take time to come to church, when you take time to gather together, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, this is what you're doing, really, you're just recentering your life. You're just kind of letting your circumstances and your schedule know, hey, Jesus is the most important thing to me. All of this other family, incredibly important. My wife, incredibly important. My pursuits, incredibly important. But Jesus is the most important thing to me. Everything else can fill in around that. It recenters us, but it also recenters our vision. It kind of helps us to remember, hey, even in all of my pursuits and all of the things that I hope to accomplish and all the things that I want to be about, Jesus is the most important thing, right? It recenters us, but it also recenters our vision. So the church, being part of the church, helps us to bear fruit. And so those are some of the ways, kind of, again, looking at this passage in Psalm 92 helps us to do this. What's so cool is that not only do you bear fruit personally, but when we're all invested, we get to bear fruit corporately, right? I think there's, and maybe this is just the way I'm wired, I love to see people build stuff. I love when people start businesses. I love when people, you know, they get into things and they kind of put themselves out there and they have faith and they take steps of faith. I think that is the coolest thing in the world. And in reality, isn't that what the church is, right? We're all invested in building the church, and we're all called to build the church. Like, none of us are exempt. There's been a mentality, I think, for a really long time, that the only person responsible for leading a church is a pastor, and that's the dumbest thing I have ever heard. And if you've ever been to a church or acted like that, you're wrong. And you remember when I told you earlier about the things that I want to say that I don't get to say? Because that was one of them, right? But that's not biblical. Like, you go read the Bible, go read the kind of the formations and the context of the church, and that's not how this whole thing works at all. We all are responsible for building the church. It says that saved people serve people. Right? If Jesus has changed your life, if he has saved you, he's conveyed you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love, then your response to that is to lead other people to the same grace that you've got to experience, right? If you're saved, you serve. And so when we build the church, that's what we're doing. We're investing and inviting people into what God has done into our lives. And so we all have a part to play in that. So we bear fruit, not just individually, but we bear fruit corporately. Somebody say, all right. Last thing, this is our last point. The first one, that was all one point, by the way. That was, the second point will not be nearly as long, I promise. But that was just take root and be planted. If you already are, continue to be, right? Continue to be. And I think your roots can go even deeper. I think there's always more for us to do. If you're not, man, get planted. Like, and if this is not the church for you, get planted somewhere. Like, we are not exclusive. We don't think that we have all the answers. There are great churches even in and around Longview. I say even. There are great churches in and around Longview. I'm friends with several pastors. If this is not the church for you, get planted somewhere. And that does not mean once every 6 freaking weeks. Like, be planted. Like, and again, if it's not here, just be planted somewhere, man. We don't care where. We do care where. Don't go to some of those weird churches. And I'm not saying anything else about that, right? Just don't be weird. Go to a good church. But stay here, right? Be planted here. If this is where God has called you, if you feel this connection, be planted here. And so the last part of this is what we're calling here to stay. So Shelly and I, we started this church almost, it'll be 9 years. September 25th, we'll have our 9th birthday party as a church. That was pretty pathetic. Thank you. Did you know the thing about an applause? There is timing required for applauses. And y'all butchered it, right? That was not good timing. So we started the church. It really, technically, February of 2011 is when we sent all our paperwork in and articles of formation and all that stuff. And so we've been in existence for almost a decade. Next year will be 10 years in existence. And so thinking about vision, man, I love to look back. I love to see what we've done. If you didn't know this, we started, like, imagine the wall. Everybody turn and look at that wall back there. Everything, the whole church, was on the other side of that wall. The area where we have coffee and stuff is where we used to have church, which is crazy to think about. I'm like, how in the world did we do that? And then 5 years or so ago, we kind of expanded over here, and we created some more space, and it was all good. And I'm so thankful, man. I look back, and I'm like, man, that's so cool that God has been faithful. He's provided. He's created opportunity for us to do stuff. But y'all know how faith works? Faith is, here's an opportunity that we feel like God has put out in front of us. There is a gap from where we are to where we think he wants us to be, and somebody got to take that step. And that's what we've done every step of the way. So we've taken step after step after step, and we just try to follow the plan that we believe that God has for our life. And so all of that to say, we're looking ahead at what the next 10 years of Motion Church will be. It's a plan that I think we'll call a plan of permanency. All right, we've got to do something different. If we went over the numbers, I would share those with you, but you probably don't want to hear. I'm not going to bore people with the details, but we pay rent every single month. Just like if you live in an apartment or, you know, a house that you pay rent every single month. And at the end of that, now, there is something being exchanged, right? We have a place to have church, and life change happens as a result of us having a place to do church and to be the church. That's awesome. Thankful for it. But I think there's more for us. And so for the next couple of years, our plan is to find some sort of permanency. We have no idea what that is. But what I do know is that we need to be prepared when the opportunity presents itself. And so what we're doing is we're starting today, we're officially launching a campaign called Here to Stay.
I didn't know we were doing that today.
We've been talking about it all
but month. I'm here to stay.
You ain't going to. Scoot over. Stay right here. You messed up. You came up. Listen, even last night, I was kind of going over everything, and I'm like, man, I don't even want to talk about stuff like this, because people are like, oh, churches and money, right? All they want is our money. And I'm like, you have no freaking idea.
I don't know what you're doing. Okay. This is so exciting, y'all. Like, here to stay. Like, husbands and wives don't even stay anymore. Like, your kids are moving out when they're 16 because they hate you. Like, nobody's here to stay. And that is the power of the local church. There's 224 churches in Longview. Talk about the Bible belt buckle. You know? There's power in being planted where you are. It's amazing. I want to be solid in my marriage. I want our kids to live with us, you know.
I'm going to cut you off right there. That's about enough of all that nonsense. That's good. I wrestled with this. Like, even last night, I was tempted just to take it off the table, just talk about the power of the church and the importance of the church. But here's the bottom line. Like, as a church, we're planted, man. We do this thing every week. This is not just something that happens, you know. Like, this is us. This is what we do every single week, man. We come together. We love each other. We try to build community. We preach God's word, and we worship passionately. That's what we do as a church. We are planted. We are not going to stop doing that. But currently, we're planted in a pot, and we're looking for a pasture. That was good. You should. We have no idea what that's going to be, but this is what it looks like for us. We're starting a campaign called Here to Stay. And so for us, we're going to create a separate fund. And so if you want to designate money to go to that, that does not mean, let me clarify without being a jerk. If we start giving all of the money that we give that goes towards our ability to operate to that, then we don't operate and we ain't here to stay, right? So this is above and beyond. It's considered an offering on top of what we give regularly, on top of tithe. So if this is something, if this is not something you feel connected to do, not something you feel compelled to do, no pressure, this is not for you. But if you are with us, if you are part of what we feel like God is moving us to do in the next stage and phase of Motion Church, then participate, right? There's a word for us. Be a part of the Here to Stay campaign. And we'll have a lot more information coming in the week. weeks and months ahead. This is not a fly-by-night thing. This is something that we're committed to. And the goal is pretty audacious for us. And this is kind of embarrassing. A few years ago, in fact, probably the first year that we started, we took up our offering on Sunday morning. And again, this is probably too much information, but it's cool. We're at that point. We've crossed the line, right? So we took up our offering on Sunday morning, and it was like $671. And I was pumped. Yeah. I'm like, we're going to make it. We're going to pay rent this month, because our rent at the time was $1,350 a month, which I wish to God it was $1,350 a month now. But so I was so excited. And so I went to the gym that day, and I was talking to a guy who goes to another very large, insignificant church, which I will leave unnamed, but they own half of Longview. So, and they were telling me they started a campaign that day, and it was to buy some land adjacent to the church. And on the first day, they raised $600,000. And I'm like, shut your pie hole, man. Crusher of little boys' dreams. But here's the thing. This may not be significant to some people, but it's significant to us. It'll give us the ability to make a move when the time comes to get the process started. So our goal is over the next 2 years to raise $100,000 in addition to our operating expenses. And that should position us to at least, again, begin the process. And what that looks like, we have no idea. We talk about this on a very regular basis. What's the best move for us? Is it land in a building? Is it retrofitting? I promise you, nothing yet. Are we continuing the move with the city? And we've got so many philosophical issues that go along with that. It is a conversation we take very seriously. So whatever the next step is, it will be prayerfully and very wisdom sought. It'll be a decision that we make in wisdom, right? So thank you for everything. Honestly, I was like, they're either going to love me or they're going to hate me, right? I was expecting like some tomatoes and things, projectiles, but thank you so much. If this is your church, man, thank you for what you've been a part of for the last few years, but I really do believe that the best is yet to come. God has so much more. Yeah. God has so much more in store for us as a church. And so we'll officially, you know, unveil some of the ways that this can be something you can participate in. You can give online at, you know, motionchurch.com/give. There will be a drop down that says here to stay, and all of the money that's designated to that will go into a separate fund. Again, all those details will be forthcoming as we move forward. But thank you so much for being here. Let me pray for us real quick. God, thank you so much for all that you do. God, for your love for us. God, that you loved us so much, that you demonstrated that love to us. But even when we were distant from you, we were sinners, we were running from you. You died on the cross for our sins to show us what love is. A God that would do that, what else wouldn't he do? A God that would give his only son to show us how much he loves us, what else wouldn't he do? We're so thankful for that love. We're so thankful for your grace. We're so thankful that your mercies are new every morning. And it's not just for us individually, but it's also for us as a body, as a church, God, that you've got a plan for us. And we're so thankful for that. God, I pray for your wisdom, your discretion, your guidance in any step that we make. God, any decision that we deem necessary, God, that you would lead us and help us to be good stewards of all that you've given and all that you're going to give. It's in Jesus' incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Motion Church podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, visit motionchurch.com. If you want to contribute financially to what God is doing here at Motion Church, you can do that by visiting motionchurch.com/giving. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.